I got lazy after the break, left my heart out in the rain. Watched the rust, watched the pain flake, until my youth washed down the drain. I don't need you to sympathize, don't want your shoulder, got two of my own. But since you asked, I'll take that ride, could use a good woman to take me home. I've been walking on a rope that's tight, the only light by firefly. I'm thumbing on a road tonight for someone to take me home. I've been walking on a rope that's tight, the only light by firefly. I'm thumbing on a road tonight for someone to take me home. I learned a thing or two from school, one or two that I recall. But the greatest thing of use is how to sleep under the stars. And I've been searching like a dog for the scent of home when home is gone. And I'm walking in a fog, now I need a good woman to take me home. I've been walking on a rope that's tight, the only light by firefly. I'm thumbing on a road tonight for someone to take me home. I've been walking on a rope that's tight, the only light by firefly. I'm thumbing on a road tonight for someone to take me home. Someone to take me home. Someone to take me home. Someone to take me. I've made tracks in many towns, and I've met friends who've met my needs. I get up when things get down, but these damn blues drag at my knees. I'm something borrowed, something blue, I'm something old like a country road. But my heart would love to know you, I need a good woman to take me home. I've been walking on a rope that's tight, the only light by firefly. I'm thumbing on a road tonight for someone to take me home. I've been walking on a rope that's tight, the only light by firefly. I'm thumbing on a road tonight for someone to take me home. Someone to take me home.
That's Ian Sherwood live at Folk Music Ontario for Folk Roots Radio. Ian is our special guest in the studio. That is the song Firefly, a live version of that. And it's a single from his latest album, Bring the Light, which was produced by Daniel Ledwell, who's been doing some phenomenal work in the studio. Ian, it's great to have you join us today.
Yeah, thanks, Jan. This is great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the new album, then. You must be pretty pleased with the reception it's been having. I certainly had a chance to play a few tracks on Folk Roots Radio already.
Yeah, and thanks for that, by the way. I mean, it's it's been going really well. I mean, you never really know with these things, right? You do them and then you send them off like little paper boats into the world. You hope they make a name for themselves, and it's been great kind of seeing the reception come in from fans and from other people who've been listening to it. So it's as good as it can hope for. But you know, when I wrote this record and we recorded it, it's probably, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but it was probably the first time I made a record without really thinking too much about how it was going to be received by a lot of other people. Like, this really was a record that I just wanted to make with the people I wanted to make it with. And not to say that I, you know, was compromising myself at all before, but I mean, my priorities maybe changed a little bit with this one. And I just had some things I needed to say, and I needed to put them on a record. And so far, people seem to dig it.
Now, this is album number 5. A lot of people will know you from your Live at the Hive album.
Which is actually six. That
which
makes
is six.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
Five studio albums and a live album.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the album that I think won the 2013 Canadian Folk Music Award for Songwriter of the Year.
Contemporary Singer.
Yeah. I get confused with all that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's a wonder I still remember. Yeah.
It won an award, which was the main thing.
That's right. Yeah, that was, I mean, that was kind of a really unexpected. That, again, that was, you know, it just sort of goes to show that when you do things for completely the right reasons, good things come. And that was another case of, I just had some singers that I wanted to sing with, and I had a piano player I wanted to play with, and we just wanted to do a record. And we wanted to do a live record, because there's a certain element of a live show, especially the shows that I do, that you can't get on a studio record, because there's no banter and you don't have the audience there, and the energy I feel as a performer is so much different on record as it is compared to when I'm in front of an audience. And I really wanted to have something that kind of captured that rapport back and forth, and Live at the Hive I think did just that. Down to the wire. Like, I really had no idea how that was going to come together, you know, because we're like an hour before people are showing up, we're folding chairs and making sure that, you know, everything's kind of set in place. And then, you know, we just had a really awesome night by the end of it. We were going to maybe do it at a club, like maybe Hugh's Room or a place like that. And then it just ended up that, you know, Tim, who had the recording studio, also had an office space upstairs. And he's like, it's really easy for me just to drag this equipment and wire it all downstairs. And they took all of the furniture out of the office and turned it into a studio. You can see it online. There's a few videos on my webpage that you can see. They turned it into a really nice little space, and we crammed a bunch of people in there. And it was so much easier and so much better. And people showed up, too. That was the only thing we were worried about. Maybe people were like, oh, well, I know where Hugh's Room is, but where's this Hive place in the East End? But they did. They showed up, and the rest is CD history.
Take us back to the early days of your music, because I think guitar was not your first instrument, right?
No.
You started with saxophone.
That's right, yeah. I started with ukulele, but I don't really talk about that very much. That was a bad relationship. The first instrument that I took serious was the saxophone, and I started that in junior high. And, to get going on a saxophone is actually not that difficult compared to a flute or clarinet or oboe or violin. It's actually, you can start making a sound pretty quickly. And I think that kind of spurred my interest in it. And in high school, I fell in with a bunch of people who were better than me, and were very encouraging. And that just sort of made me kind of grow and come up to the level. And then when I was in university, I just started hanging out. I wasn't going to university for music. I was going for economics. And then I met a bunch of other musicians who were doing kind of the same thing. And we all just sort of got each other along, and then I decided to not do economics and do music instead. And that's, you know, that kind of turned into what it is. I mean, it's a very long story. I'm not going to bore you with it, of how I became a songwriter as opposed to just a saxophone player. But yes, saxophone was first, and then came guitar and songwriting.
And you still play sax on?
I do, yeah. I'm playing it tonight, actually, at FMO here. So, It shows up in my showcase and shows up in my show once or twice a night. I wish it was more, but it's hard to sing and play sax at the same time. You know what I mean? And I do a lot of solo shows, too. So I have a looper that I use that lets me bring the sax in for every now and then. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love... when I get hired to be just a sax player on a blues gig or something like that, it's the best. Love it.
So the new album, you mentioned studio album number 5, mm-hmm. is Bring the Light. Why don't we play another live song from that?
Yeah, okay. This song is called Dig That Hole, and it's a tune that I started writing it about a year and a half ago, and then I took it into a songwriting workshop at the East Coast Music Awards, and they had a guy in, Ralph Murphy from Nashville, and, you know, great songwriter. He wrote a bunch of hits, and he helped me reshape it, and he said, you should do this, and you should do that, and that will, you know, bring the chorus in a little earlier. And then as soon as it was all over, I just changed it back to the way that it was. Ralph is really, he's a really talented guy, but for whatever reason, it just sort of sat better for me this way. And I got the idea for it from Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. There's a line in that play that goes something like, I went in a jungle, a boy, and I came out a man.
When he was a young man, all he did was laugh. He left his home, never looked back. Made a lot of money, getting dirt on his brow. Oh, but he wouldn't have dug so deep into what he knows now. Back then he didn't even know. Back then he didn't even know there were demons looking for him in that hole. You gotta know how deep to dig that hole. You gotta know where to dig to find your gold. You gotta know you're going in young and you're coming out old. This fast life's a one-way track. Don't slow down, you don't look back. There's only one way out, you gotta dig that hole. And if he was hungry, well, he wouldn't slow down. Oh, there's a dirty old devil right behind him now. Yeah, he'll grind you down to dust and stone, picking his teeth with one of your bones. Well, he had fever, he wouldn't leave it alone. Back then he didn't even know. Back then he didn't even know there were demons looking for him in that hole. You gotta know how deep to dig that hole. You gotta know where to dig to find your gold. You gotta know you're going in young and you're coming out old. This fast life's a one-way track. Don't slow down, don't look back. There's only one way out, you gotta dig that hole. Oh, you got a lovely smile. Yeah, you got a lovely laugh. Keep it in the sunshine. Because the money never lasts. And I gotta know how deep to dig that hole. Now I gotta know where to dig to find my gold. I gotta know I'm going in young and I'm coming out old. This fast life's a one-way track. Don't slow down, you don't look back. This fast life's a one-way track. Don't slow down, you know that, Jack. There's only one way out, you gotta dig that hole.
That's Ian Sherwood live at Folk Music Ontario for Folk Roots Radio. That is Dig the Hole from his new album, Bring the Light. Ian's our special guest in the studio. Tell us a little bit about the album. Did the recording process go pretty well? I mean,
yeah, it went great. I mean, Dan Lebel's he's a friend of mine. I've known him for years, and I really wanted to make sure I worked with him eventually. And this just kind of ended up being the right time, and he had some space, and I was looking to kind of stick closer to home, and he lives, maybe 15 minutes from my front door. So it was fantastic in that way, just logistically, because I could carry a little lunch bag and, go to work basically from 9 to 5 or 10 to 6 or whatever and be home in time for dinner. And it was, in that way, it was amazing. But also Dan is just a really talented guy and he has great sounds. And we share a similar sensibility, I think, a similar sense of humor. So it wasn't difficult to hang out in a room with this guy. And we basically did it ourselves. We brought in a drummer and we brought in a few singers. But that's about, and one person played some violin. Kinley Dowling played violin. But aside from that, it was me and Dan playing everything. So it was a lot of work every day. Like we were always in the studio, always playing, always coming up with ideas. And I mean, it kind of tainted me. I don't think I can ever do a record another way now because it was just so much fun.
I get the impression that you've got very comfortable, managing your own career. I mean, if you go to your website, iansherwood.com, it seems very clear to me that this is someone who's very in control of where they're at, with regard to their music and their career. I just wonder, you mentioned how you moved from economics into music. I just wonder whether starting off in something else actually helped you get a good basis for the business side, because it's challenging making a living as a musician.
Absolutely. I think that's possible. I mean, economics is it was something that I was interested in, so I suppose it kind of carries over, but it's just almost impossible to say whether or not that had a lot of influence on. I mean, you can always do better in your career. I'm always trying to do better. I actually now have a manager, Steve Kenny, who just in the last few months we started working together, and I have a really great agent here in Canada who helps out, and I have, you know, publicists and radio people and all that stuff, which is really important to kind of move your career forward, because it's impossible as an independent artist to do all that yourself. You just can't, even if you were as good a radio tracker, manager, agent as all these people you can hire, there just simply is not enough time to do all that and be creative. And I'm a family man too. I have two kids, so it was just unreasonable for me to, you know, it got to the point where I needed to bring people on, and I found the right people at the right time. My folks are not musicians. They're people that really have their stuff together. My mom was a nurse and my dad works in computers. We had a very structured childhood growing up, my sister and I, so I think that probably helped a little bit. Like my dad is never late for anything, like never late. Like he'd have to drive me to school in the morning, and he would leave without me if I wasn't ready. He would, and I would have to walk to school, and because he was not going to be late for work. And so that's the kind of, you know, household I grew up in, and those are the kind of ethics and morals and compass that was given to me. And it's hard for me because at my core I am not like that, but I understand the importance of it, and I think that has helped me conduct business in a way that at least meets the standards of most people in the music business.
And as far as live performance is concerned, I think you mentioned earlier that often you're touring alone or maybe with someone else.
I mean, I do a lot of solo touring. I've worked hard on a solo show to have, you know, harmonies and saxophone and guitar in it, and to be engaging. And I really enjoy the solo shows because I can go in any direction I want. You know, I can cut songs from a set list. I can, you know, pull one out that I haven't done in a few years and just sort of see how it goes. And I love that aspect of doing a solo show, which is harder to do with a band. I mean, I did have a band at one point where we were almost at the point where we could do that because we've been playing together so long, but the logistics of what I do and where I play, just it's not viable for me to drag a few people around the country and around the world with me. And so I put together a solo show that's really comfortable and really great, fits in a suitcase and one hotel room and one small rental car. So that's, but I do also have a band that I put together for some larger shows too.
And that's probably mainly closer to home or
mainly
big festival
I mean,
gigs?
Yeah, I'm playing, I've got a band for this show that I'm doing here at FMO, two singers and a drummer. But still, half the showcase is me on my own, solo, and we're doing two songs with the band as well. So there's always a solo component in what I do, because it's not only is it easy, but it's also just a large part of who I am as a performer now, and I can't just throw that aside. Like, it's an important part of what I do, and it's different, and it's a different show for people when they see it, so I always make sure I have it in there.
We're taking advantage of the fact that you did bring your guitar.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to dip back into the catalog and a tune that you play often in your live show.
Well, you know what? I used to play this song all the time. And then I put it away. I went through a little bit of a phase a year and a half, 2 years ago, where I wanted to reevaluate what I was doing. I was getting kind of bored with the stuff that I was doing and the way I was writing. And that sort of... that's actually what spawned this new record, is a new writing. And so this song kind of went in the trunk for a while, but it's a fun tune, you know, and I don't know, I think it's kind of fitting. I wrote this song very early on when I was doing a lot of playing at OCFF and FMO, and I was living in Ontario, and I wrote the bulk of it at a bus stop in Edmonton in the middle of winter, feeling like things weren't really going my way because the bus was late and it was so cold. And In fact, things do go my way a lot, and for most of us they do, because it's a first world problem to just be sitting there waiting for a bus. So I wanted to have a song that would kind of keep myself in check, so I wrote this one. It's called The Short End of the Stick.
I saw Jesus yesterday. He heard all about my troubles. He said, I'm sorry, Mary, I never thought I'd go this way. Whoa, whoa. I've given you no reason to believe, but you're still here on your knees. You make a fine living at the short end of the stick. Well, my wife said, tell me something, you must have seen this coming. I've been cheating, man, I've been playing on you for so long, yeah. Well, I got down on my knees and I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm a free bird now that the ball and chain is gone. And I saw Jesus yesterday and he'd heard all about my troubles. He said, I'm sorry, man, well, I never thought I'd go this way, no. I've given you no reason to believe, but you're still here on your knees. You make a fine living at the short end of the stick. Well, my wife said, tell me something. Ooh, you must have seen this coming. I've been cheating, babe. I've been playing on you for so long, yeah. That was the verse that I just sang. Oh, I don't mind ever singing again. Man, at the short end of the stick. Whoa, whoa, I saw Jesus yesterday and he heard all about my trouble. He said, I'm sorry, man, well, I never thought I'd go this way, no. I've given you no reason to believe, son, but you're still here on your knees. You make a fine living at the short end of the stick. You make a fine living at the short end of the stick. Whoa, no, you make a fine living at the short end of the stick.
That's Ian Sherwood with a live version of Short End of the Stick for Folk Roots Radio today at the Folk Music Ontario.
With some very different lyrics in it, too.
Yeah. Great to have you join us. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
You can go to iansherwood.com, and there should be everything you need there. And if not, you can just write me a message through the website, and I can answer any question, hopefully. Now,
obviously, the new album has just come out, Bring the Light. Can you talk about short-term, long-term plans moving forward?
Yeah, in the short term, I'm going to do a showcase tonight and hopefully kick it real hard with the band and enjoy the rest of the weekend. And then onward and upward, and I'm over back in England in the new year, hopefully over in Saskatchewan a little after that. Festival season's coming up, and yeah, so it's just kind of hitting the road as much as I can.
It's been absolutely fabulous having you join us. We're going to finish with a song from the album itself. Remember, that is Bring the Light. What are we going to play?
This is a tune called Only Human, which is a love song, and it's a song about the persistence of love, despite maybe all the things that can get in its way.
Ian Sherwood with We're Only Human from the album Bring the Light. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, and I'm Jan Hall. And thanks again.
Thanks, Jan.
So we've fallen for his tricks. Two unsuspecting wanderers, two helplessly romantics. Cupid's game and the violence of his bow. Drew smoke and mirrors cross our hearts. How are we to know? For all we do, we're only human. We're only human. For all we've grown, we're only human. when the crooked stars align. Our fates were written long ago. No permission given, yours or mine. But if you stay, we'll give them all what for. We'll drown the heavens out with song. We'll take their love, we'll ask.